long as I don't get some kid running here.
There might be.
You never know.
Yeah, never know.
All right, we're recording.
Yep.
Let me get back to the thing here. All right. Hey, guys, welcome to another episode of Sexy Real Estate Recruiting Podcast. I'm Dr. Ben Spears, the ambassador of Flow, my favorite part of the podcast.
Not the ambassador of Flow of Christmas Spirit, right? Did you see that? I called you the ambassador of Flow of Christmas Spirit.
No, I didn't, but that's pretty awesome. I wouldn't mind. That'd be a sweet gig.
So wait a minute. So which ghost would you want to be? The ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, or the ghost of Christmas future?
The ghost of Christmas past.
Really?
Yeah, Jiminy Cricket, man.
Whoa, no. I'm talking more the George C. Scott version, right?
No, I'm just I got a 7 and a 9 year old, man. I'm Jiminy Cricket all day long.
I hear you. You know, I've got a collection of about 10 of those movies. I don't know if you got a VHS player still or a DVD player.
Yeah.
But I got a bunch of them.
I got Netflix though.
Yeah. I got old ones that aren't on Netflix, baby. I got some old ones at Christmas, Carol. I start watching them right after Thanksgiving. Anyway, all right. So didn't mean to distract Mr. Ambassador Flow. Sorry about that. What are we flowing about today? I think we're going to talk about cost versus revenue, right?
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Yep. So I'm still traveling. You're still traveling. We got stuff going on, right, for both of us and everything. But so we can't be in the studio today, but we still wanted to make sure we got this out there because we promised that we would, and people believe in doing what they said they're going to do, right?
Yep, that's exactly right. So, guys, we are going to talk about cost versus revenue when it comes to recruiting today and really bring that into the business plan. This is day 3 of our business planning week on the Sexy Real Estate Recruiting Podcast. Before we dive into it, let's make sure that you hit that follow button wherever you're listening to us, or if you're listening to us on YouTube, hit that subscribe button and subscribe to the channel. We really appreciate that. As always, this is a perfect time to go to prospectboomerang.com, click that green button that says sign up, create a free account, and you know, join our free real estate recruiting mastermind. That's where we dive into these topics a little bit more with our listeners. And, we hope that, we get to know you guys and your businesses a little bit better and let you guys get to know us a little bit better as well. So, Matt, without further ado, take us into cost versus revenue.
You know, Ben, here's probably the best way of starting this. And I'm going to acknowledge that your time has a huge value to it. Okay. So we're going to put that aside for just a second, because a lot of brokers don't even know what their dollar per hour is. And absolutely, they should have an idea of what their dollar per hour is, because then you know what to strive for and how to level up and which activities are going to take you to that next level. Okay. So I'm going to talk about this for 2 more seconds and then we'll jump into the rest of this.
Okay.
If you know how much your dollar per hour is worth, and then you want to go to that next level, right? So if you're only making $250 or $300 an hour and you want to go to that $500 an hour as the broker owner, you would learn to not spend your time on things that are not $500 an hour things.
Right.
But if you don't know what your dollar per hour is, you'll sit around and do any old stuff. It doesn't matter, because you don't know how much your time is worth, right?
Yeah, so, it's usually the easy stuff that doesn't really yield the most results.
Absolutely, that's exactly right. So absolutely, to how much that matters. So the next thing I'm going to say, I had to qualify that just a little bit, right? Because we're going to dig into this, and we're trying to be as real and simple and as actionable about this as possible. And today will be no exception, right? So here's what floors me. There's a bunch of brokers out there that know how, broker owners that know how important recruiting is. However, they don't spend any serious resources on it at all.
Right.
They're trying to get like a, you know, what does that break down to, 1,000,000% on return on their investment, right? They want to spend a little bit of time here and there, and they want to hire some people, and they want to make all this money and put it in their pocket and pay for their overhead and make some profitability and add to their bottom line and all that kind of stuff, but they're not willing to invest at all. That's like saying I want to get into the stock market and not putting any money into the stock market. That's like saying I want to buy a rental house and not putting any money into the rental house, right? It's the same exact thing. You have to invest, period. You got to put time, you got to put effort, you got to put energy, you have to put intention into it. You have to know what direction you're going into. You got to put focus in it. And you have to put, did I mention money already? If I didn't mention money, you're going to have to put some money into that in order to make that, in order to make that work the way it's supposed to, right? So here's the best analogy. Okay. And so bear with me for just a second. You know, I'm from Georgia, so everything's a damn story, right? So here's my analogy. So let's say I live on an island and I got to feed my family, right? Now I got a fishing pole. So I'm going to go fishing. I'm hungry. My family's hungry. So I go put the hook in the water. I sit there for a few minutes and then all of a sudden I get distracted. You know what I got to do? There's a storm coming, right? So I got to go check the cave and make sure everything's okay with the cave. So I run back to the cave, make sure everything's in the cave so the family can get into the cave. And I go back and check the hook and there's nothing on the hook yet, right? So then I go back and I run and I go get some firewood and one of the family members stops me and I got to talk to them for just a minute because they got a minute, right? They asked me if I got a minute. So I got to stop and I got a minute. So I gather some firewood. I go back and then I run back over to the fishing and the hook has washed up on the shore, right? So now I got to take the hook and I got to throw it back in the water. And then I got to go run and gather some more firewood and I got to go get banana leaves because we got to cover up because it's supposed to be chilly with the storm. And I've got to go collect some coconuts and grab some more firewood and run it all back to the cave and then go back. And I check the hook again and I'm like, man, you know what? There's no fish on this hook. Right. So I run back to the cave. I try some new bait, put it back out there, run back to the cave, talking to the family, run back out to check the hook. When I run back out to check the hook, there's a fish on it. I start to reel it in. Fish gets away. And I go back to the cave and my family's all hungry. Right. They're like, hey, how come we can't eat, man? And I'm like, because the fish are stupid. Is that really what's going on? Is it really the fish that are stupid? Is it really the fish that are the problem? No. It's how I'm fishing. It's what bait. It's where I'm at. It's how I'm going about it. It's how I can set the hook on the fish. It's all of these other things that add up to me fishing the right way. So don't believe that there's some magic bait, okay? Because there's no such thing as magic bait. I actually think there's bait out there called magic bait, but there's no magic bait, okay?
Yeah, I'm sure there's bait called magic bait. I'm sure it is. You know there is.
If there's not, somebody's gonna.
It's the flying lure, man. It's the flying lure.
Somebody just paused the podcast and they wrote down magic bait. So there's no magic bait out there, right?
Yep.
That means you have to be consistent and you have to look at what's going on and you have to invest in learning how to fish and where's the best place to fish and when a storm is coming, which side of the island do you fish on? All of those things matter.
Yeah.
You have to pay attention to every one of those and make sure that you're fishing the right way in the right spot to catch the right type of fish that you want to catch. Because on an island, maybe some of that fish isn't edible, right? All of those things add up. That's what happens in recruiting so many times. People think that they can just have a conversation with somebody, strike up a conversation and talk to them and pick up the phone and just dial enough people and they're going to bump into somebody that eventually wants to join the office. That doesn't mean it's the right fish. Doesn't mean you're going to set the hook the right way. Doesn't mean the thing is going to feed your family. Don't be happy with some little minnow just because that's what you happen to catch whenever you are out there fishing for whatever you might happen to catch. So it's about intention. It's about understanding. It's about knowing how to fish. It's about investing in the right tools. It's about knowing where to fish. All of those things make a difference, right?
Yep.
So when it comes to that type of investing, what we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit about cost, taking a look at cost and taking a look at revenue. And as promised in the beginning of this whole series, you know, we discussed keeping it as simple as possible, right? Yep. We wanted to keep it as easy as we could. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to annualize the cost number to start with. Okay. So here's how we're going to annualize it. However much money someone is spending on recruiting, whether they have some tool systems, whether there's a database that they use, whether there's, you know, their coaching program or whatever it is, take whatever it is that you pay monthly for that, then add up the hours that are being spent by everyone, including you. And we talked about what the manager's dollar per hour should be, right? There's a real simple calculation to figure that out. They can reach out to you or me and we can walk them through that. There's a real simple calculation to figure out what their dollars per hour are worth. And they're going to take the administrative staff, whatever they pay their FTEs, whatever they pay the people that are helping out, make sure that they figure that out for the total of a month, right? The total cost. And then how many hours of that month is that person actually spending on recruiting. So divide that number out, right? So if they're, you know, if the average is, let's just say, you know, let's make it easy. Let's say that somebody's making $4,000 a month and they spend a total of 40 hours, that's $1,000 that would go into that bucket, right? So yep. Take the total of everything that you're spending, add it all up. And then, of course, multiply it times 12, right? Because we're going to annualize it. That might not be the actual annual budget. Keep that in mind, because sometimes expenses, you know, wane, and there's, you know, startup costs on databases and stuff like that and everything, right? So, but all of that matters, right? But we're just going to annualize it for now. And then you take the total number of recruits that you have, and you divide that number into it. So if you have, let's say it's $48,000 a year is what you're spending on recruiting total, and you have you know, and you have, let's just what's a way to make it easy, right? So
48 hires,
right? 48 hires, so that's $1,000 each, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're basically spending $1,000 each per hire, and $4,000 per month in order to get those people. So you have to make sure that you're hiring 5 people a month next year, keeping your costs the same, in order to grow your profit by, you know, an additional $12,000, right? An yep. additional, you know, 15% or 20% or whatever that would end up being. So, so that's how you take your cost, and then that's how you look at what your, you know, how much it is per hire. The easiest way to look at it now, from a company dollar standpoint, right, is to take, you know, all the people that you hired in the last 12 months, the rolling 12 months, take a total of all their company dollar, see how much company dollar they contributed. So if you had those 48 people, and each of them contributed $2,000 each, that's, you know, $84,000 or $86,000, right? So, or $96,000. Right, mm-hmm. Right, sorry, $96,000. That's why Ben does the math, everybody. So $96,000 in total profit. So you ended up making an additional 48 on those people that you hired from the company dollars. So that's a relatively productive year. If you want to add X amount of profit to your bottom line next year, and you want to do it through recruiting, those are the numbers that you use, or you become more targeted and say, I want to hire 48 people, but I want to make X amount of company dollar off of those people in order to push my profitability up higher without putting more strain on my onboarding systems.
Hey guys, this podcast is powered by Prospect Boomerang.
We all know broker owners struggle with profitability. Prospect Boomerang compounds your profits by recruiting the best agents to your brokerage.
For consistent growth, visit prospectboomerang.com.
So now the next thing that we want to take a look at is your pipeline, right? So that's, yep. that's your projected company dollar. We want to take a close look at that, right? So what we do is we take a look at if that person was on board with you based on some of your averages, you would want to plug those numbers in. So just a second ago, I started to mention the manager recruiting efficiency guide. And so that recruiting efficiency guide is something that will help out with all of this. Just reach out to Dr. Ben and myself, and we'll get that over to you, and we can walk you through exactly how this, you know, how that's going to help you out. So then you look at your pipeline and your projected company dollar. And the cool thing is that is some built-in money. Not that you're going to get 100% of what's in your pipeline, but that is some built-in. That's some built-in money. And if you continue doing the things that you're supposed to, your pipeline, you become more selective in who you're going to hire. Right. So if you're just getting started on a recruiting plan, you know, 6 months or 12 months from now, you're going to have people in there that are getting closer to coming out of the other end. Plus, you continue to put people in there. So now you can be ridiculously selective about who you get, which automatically pushes that revenue up per hire. So as long as you contain your cost, it becomes exponential in how much money you make off of your recruiting efforts, because your pipeline just becomes more and more productive. Right.
Right. So just really quick, when we talk, you know, specifically about costs, are we only talking money?
No. So we're going to talk a little bit about the time that are spent by the staff, right? Which we touched on. So of course there's that. But we're also going to talk about, legacy resources, right?
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So sometimes you buy things that you can use for, a long time, right? So maybe in, you know, last year at this time, you know, you bought, you know, 250 recruiting packets that you fill things up with, right? So there's going to be some of those type of costs that are, that are associated with it. But then there's, but you know, then we're also talking about time, but there's also brand ambassadors time that's involved, right? So, yep. So every office should have brand ambassadors, and you're probably not compensating your brand ambassadors. You might be doing it through an additional commission split or something along that line, but you're probably not, you know, you're probably not writing them a check on a regular basis. So all of those things add up and all of those things matter, but not all of them are necessarily a financial cost, right? Some of those are time to design things. And you know, if you're writing blog posts as an example, right, those they're, you know, or you're having somebody help you write a blog post, you know, your spouse does it, or your spouse is the one that helps out with, you know, your social media presence that you focus on. So all of those things are going to add up. So there's a lot of different types of resources that you're going to leverage and use in order to be able to make the most of the efforts collectively that you're putting into recruiting. But the bottom line is you have to be able to somehow determine what all of those are worth. And you're going to do that by you know, monetizing it.
Gotcha.
So, all right. So this is probably going to take a couple of people off, but let's dig into this. Cause this is the time to do it. Right.
So that's the best part. That's the best part.
I hear you. So if this exercise seemed too complex for you or too complicated, or it isn't really worth the time, you're a manager out there sitting in, you know, you're listening to all this and you're like, yeah, this doesn't really matter. This doesn't make any sense. This really doesn't matter. Then maybe you're not really running a brokerage. Maybe basically what you're running is a team and you're trying to, and a team with exorbitant expenses, I might add. And what you're trying to do is run a brokerage and get somebody else to pay your overhead, but you're not running it with any type of plan. Okay. I bet that if you're thinking that this was too difficult, not because you didn't want to figure it out. Okay. Let me say this. If you wanted to figure it out and you're like, this went over my head, he said a lot, it was too fast, I don't know why I would do that. That's completely different than saying, yeah, this isn't worth my time. There's no need looking at this. This doesn't make any difference whenever it comes to recruiting.
Yeah. Two different animals.
Two different animals. Absolutely. The person that's saying the latter one is just running a team. You're not running a brokerage, because a brokerage is like a tree, right? You're either growing or you're dying. You're either getting better, you're flourishing, you're either getting more efficient, or you're on your way out. That's just the way that it is with the real estate brokerage, especially in today's market. And if that's the case, there's nothing wrong with that. I bet you could join. I bet you could really solidify your team if that's the case and go negotiate a great deal with another brokerage and have, you know, get rid of the expenses, get rid of the liability, get rid of all of that headache, and just be really efficient at what you're doing instead of just letting your ego force you to hold a shingle out front and just to have your name on something. You can be on a team in another brokerage and have your name on something. So if it's not about your ego, and if it's not about, you know, you wanting to just you wanting to have somebody to contribute your overhead and so that you can take vacation when you wanted to take vacation and stuff like that, and you really want to be serious about, you know, about growth, you need to make sure that you're taking a look at these numbers and making sure that your recruiting is being efficient. You want to make sure that those benefits are compounding.
Is it a, you know, owning a brokerage or running a brokerage, isn't it just one big vacation?
Yeah, I hear you.
There it is. That's right. You just sit back. You know, these agents are out there. They're just walking into your door saying, can I please sign up?
Right. And can I bring you a check? Yeah. That's not the way it goes. Yeah. So here's the other thing. I mean, if that's the way you're running it, that's really unfair to the agents that think that they're joining a brokerage. It's really unfair to them. They think that they're there for any type of support. And if the public thinks that they're hiring an agent that actually has a brokerage that's backing them, and really all that's happening is a team that thinks they're getting a higher commission split by being on their own, if they think that's all that they think that's all they're getting, the public is being impacted by that, right? So absolutely take a close look at whether you want to be for real about what you're doing with this, and whether you really want recruiting to be part of this, and whether you really want growth to be part of this. If you do, take a look at your numbers, understand your cost, understand your revenue that's coming in. Make sure that you go back and you, especially to begin with, you figure out what's monthly, you annualize it, you divide it by the total number of agents. Then you take all the company dollar from the agents you've hired over the past 12 months, and you compare those two numbers. What are my costs compared to what is my revenue?
Yeah, and I love how all this is shaping up too, because if you guys are listening, this is the first episode that you've listened to of the Business Planning Week. Make sure you go back to episode one, episode two, or day one, day two rather. And listen to all of them, because in the first one, we kind of talked very basic about your current numbers, your projected numbers. The second one, we brought that into time blocking, making sure that, now that we have all these things that we need to track, how and when are we actually tracking them? And then here on day three, we're talking about, slightly more complicated calculations, but it's all based on those numbers that we've been tracking on a regular basis that we were talking about in day one, right? We're basically using those basic numbers to say, okay, is my brokerage making money?
Right.
And so, so I just want to make sure that everybody sees, how these things are tying together and can visualize, what this business plan is going to look like, or at least this piece of your business plan, because these are just the fundamental parts. Matt, anything else before I close it up?
No. I think, just if you want to bring fish back to the cave, stop blaming it on the fish.
Yeah. I think one question that I think everyone's wondering though is, right, how did you end up on that island? Right. You said you live on an island, right? Are you stranded there?
I was on a FedEx plane with my family.
Spalding. Yeah. Wilson was saying Spalding.
That's right. And he was a soccer ball. As long as he was a soccer ball, we're okay.
Yeah, exactly. That would be some good luck.
Yep.
Awesome, guys. Well, if you're listening to this on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, any of those platforms, make sure you hit that follow button. If you're listening to us or watching us on YouTube, hit that red subscribe button, hit that bell right beside of it. You get notified every single time we drop a new episode. If you want to listen to all these or watch them all in the exact same place, make sure you go to prospectboomerang.com, click on podcast. You'll see a box there that has sign up for our VIP list, where you'll get free monthly recruiting tips, tricks, and hacks sent directly to your inbox. While you're there, you might as well join our free real estate recruiting mastermind. You have to have a free account, to sign up for that, but that's super easy to do. And we'd love to get, like I said, we'd love to get to know you and your business and let you guys get to know us a little bit better as well. So, without further ado, we do these things, for one reason and one reason alone, Matt, and let's tell them why that is.
Because we want to be part of their win.